Good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And I know lots of prayers were answered, including mine and including Pastor Verlin's, that the day would be clear enough that we would be able to hold the service. And I think probably this time yesterday, we weren't all sure that that was going to happen, but God is good. And this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Will you join me in an opening prayer of thanksgiving? Merciful God, you have brought us through the earthquake, wind, and fire, and you have brought us here because we need you. We know that in spite of and maybe because of the storms and the earthquakes, winds, and fires of our lives, we will find you here. It is to you that we offer the profound thanks in our hearts and on our lips. As Scripture has taught us, we call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and we are saved. We need to be saved week after week, day after day, from the perils that threaten our lives. Illness, lack of trust, rejection, jealousy, war, economic issues. You know them all, Lord. Thank you that you have our backs. Thank you for today. Thank you for the Woodland Drive in church, and especially we thank you for Pastor Verlin. In thy name we pray. Amen. We're happy to welcome a man who's certainly not a stranger to the Woodland Drive-In Church, Al Zylstra. He came in from Granville this morning, and we're glad he made it, too. He's going to be sharing with us three times this morning. Al, thank you.
Good morning to you all. It turned out to be a beautiful day. I just love that sunshine out there. I know the temperature's down, but spring is around the corner. My first song this morning is His Hand in Mine. You may ask me how I know my Lord is real. And you may doubt the things I say and doubt the way I feel. But I know He's real today. He'll always be. I can feel His hand in mine, and that's enough for me. I will never walk alone. He holds my hand. He guides each step I take, and if I fall, I know He understands. Till the day He tells me why He loves me so. I can feel His hand in mine, and that's all I need to know. I will never walk alone. Guides each step I take, and if I fall, I know He understands. Till the day He tells me why He loves me so. I can feel His hand in mine, and that's all I need to know. I can feel His hand in mine. That's all I need to know.
Thank you, Al. That's a mouthful. Our hand in God's hand, and I think we all feel that need, especially right now. And thank you for putting it in musical terms so beautifully. I want to extend a special welcome to everybody, whether you're here for the first time or the 151st time, whatever. We're just glad you're here. And whoever is in your car with you, you're just welcome here. And I hope that you feel that warm Woodland Drive-In Church welcome. And you're certainly invited into the greenhouse for coffee afterward. And there's an awfully nice kids club that takes place in there, and your children might enjoy that. It's certainly not too late to take them in there. A couple other things I'd like to draw to your attention. The first would be the prayer request card. That's a very special time for us here at Woodland Drive-In Church, and it's always been a special time for us. I know I'm using that word special a lot. I need to broaden my vocabulary, but it's a very precious and sacred time for us because it's a chance for us to uphold each other's needs in prayer, and we invite you to be a part of it. If you'd like to just write down your prayer request and then put your arm out the window, the greeters will be watching, and they will pick them up, and Pastor Verlin will include those in his prayer time in just a little while. And we have a very special thanks to the greeters, too, for being out here on such a cold day like this. There's also a registration card, and we would ask that you would fill that out and put that in the envelope. If you are able to contribute to the financial portion of this ministry, we always appreciate that, too. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everyone. There are a couple of rules that we're following today. First of all, I do want to mention, and you often ask me, how was my week? This was a week without chemo. I am really feeling good this week. I'm feeling good not only physically, but also yesterday. My wife and I were with all five of my kids at Meyer Gardens, and we had them over at our house. It had been a most marvelous weekend, and I think they are all here today as well. The rules for today is I'm going to be preaching from inside. I'm going to read the scripture and have the prayer from here, but then I'll be back where Mary Severs was during the actual message part. Also, after the service, I'm not going to go out to the gate. I did that once on a really cold day, and I regretted it. Partly, I no longer have a layer of extra warmth from being a little bit overweight. I've lost a lot of weight, as most of you know, because of the cancer. So I will be going directly into the greenhouse. There's going to be a special time there, of course, at the greenhouse of coffee and refreshments, and all of you are invited to stay for that. Now, the passage that I am reading from today continues on in the series of 2 Timothy. I was planning to do four messages on 2 Timothy, reading one chapter each week, and that got derailed. Number one, the first Sunday of the month, I ended up in emergency on Sunday, and we didn't have a service. Second Sunday, I had David Freeze preaching here. Third Sunday, I preached a different sort of message on Philippians 1. And then I finally preached the message I was going to preach the first Sunday of the year on the last Sunday of January. Then the first Sunday of February, I was going to preach on chapter 2, and we had to call off the service because of bad weather. And so I preached that last week. And so today we're in 2 Timothy chapter 3. It is printed for you on your worship guide, and you can follow along. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women, who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning, but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these teachers oppose the truth. These are men of depraved mind who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, the kind that happened to me in Antioch, in Iconium, and in Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from them all. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evildoers and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived themselves. But as for you, continue in the way you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those things from whom you learned it. You know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And as you know, when I've been reading these chapters, I don't preach on the whole chapter. I select particular section that I concentrate on, and it will be the last few verses that I will be concentrating on in the message today. This prayer request has come in. Pray for Dean, who was undergoing many medical tests. Vincent, who has lost his wife. Pray for Amy to be saved. And thank you for all our blessings. There's another prayer request coming here. There is, by the way, another prayer request that is there. Apparently, and I didn't see this myself, but apparently someone saw in the newspaper that Harold Wormels passed away. Thanks. This is a prayer request, please, from Ina Price. Please pray for my brother that he receives a job and bless my home and family, and I thank you for being there for me. Shall we go to the Lord in prayer? Father in heaven, it is a good day to be here. We've had some very difficult weather, especially in the last 24 hours. We thank you for the sunshine today. We thank you that the winds are calmer. We thank you that the roads are clear. Almost all of us have experienced that coming in from wherever we live to this place of worship today, to be able to drive on dry roads and be able to navigate easily on the roads. We thank you, O Lord, for the opportunity to be here. Lord, I particularly thank you for the good week that I have had, for the week off from chemo, and for the good report from the doctor when we went there on Tuesday to check some of the blood work. And Lord, we pray that you will continue to be with those who do have special needs. I pray, Lord, that you will continue to be with the treatments that I'll be receiving and that are resuming again this week, and that we may experience your nearness and your goodness in our lives and everything that we do. and that we may receive healing from your hand, from your touch upon us. Lord, there are ways in which all of us need healing. Some of us need healing of the body. Some of us need healing of the soul. There are some of us who are having particular difficulties with relationships. Lord, we pray that you will heal them. There are others who have difficulty also with financial issues. Perhaps their job is not supporting their life, the life that they need in order to meet their income. Lord, I pray too that you will be with them. We pray especially, O Lord, for the prayer requests that have come in today. We pray that you will be with Marie Wormel. She has struggled long and hard with the Alzheimer's of her husband, Harold, who has been afflicted by that aging disease for a good number of years. And Lord, you have taken him to be with you. We pray that she may receive comfort from knowing that she is now safe in your arms. We pray too, O Lord, that you will be with Dean, who is undergoing medical tests. And whatever they demonstrate, O Lord, we pray that the doctors will be able to treat it. We pray for another person who's lost a loved one, for Vincent, who lost his wife. We pray that you will be with her, with him in this loss, and that the adjustment will go easily. We pray for Amy to be saved too, O Lord. And we do thank you for all of our blessings. And we pray too, O Lord, that you will be with the brother of someone worshiping here, that he will receive a job. And we pray for this family. And we pray, O Lord, not only for this family, but I want to pray for all families that are represented here. Our numbers are down today, and we understand that because of the cold weather. There would probably be many more people if it were a little bit warmer. But there are many families, O Lord, that are affiliated with the drive-in. Some of them come occasionally. Some of them come regularly. But we do pray, O Lord, that you will be with each and every family that is represented here today and each and every family circle. And we thank you, O Lord, for being there for us no matter what the day is or what the week brings. And we pray, Lord, that you will be with us as we live in this country. Lord, there are many issues in this country. There are many issues in this world. And our government has many problems to be solved. And sometimes it has a real struggle trying to find the proper balance between the income and the outflow. We pray, Lord, that you will be with the international scene as our government tries to monitor what is going on there. And that those countries that are dedicated to violence and killing and overthrow, whether it be of Christians or other communities, we pray, Lord, that you will be with them. And the countries that are trying to put a stop to that. And we pray, Lord, that you will watch over our own soldiers as they are sometimes in harm's way. We pray for Christians in these countries as well. Lord, there are many Christians who have lost their lives or who have fled their homes simply because they believe in Jesus. Lord, we are thankful that we have freedom of religion in our country, but we even see in our own country that some of the freedoms that we have enjoyed are being chipped away at. And we pray, O Lord, that we may continue faithful in our commitment to you. And we pray, Lord, that as we live our lives here in this earth, we may know that Jesus is Lord, and that when all is said and done, he is the one who is King of kings and Lord of lords and rules over all. Hear us then, we pray, O Lord, and bless us throughout this week. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who taught us to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
I'd like to update you a little bit on my grandson. Many of you know a few years back he went through a serious stroke. He's now in college in his second year, doing very well. I have lunch with him once a week if I can, and he picks on me a lot, so I deserve it, I guess, sometimes. But my second song now is Sustaining Grace. Imagine being in prison for the cause of Christ. Three times being beaten, tortured. Oh, what a price. But Paul remained faithful till he finished his race. Ever before him was God's sustaining grace. Sustaining grace till the end of it all. Sustaining grace till the last sunset falls. Always there, everlasting, enough to see us through. Sustaining grace is there for me and you. There'll be joy in each trial that no man can take away. Peace that passes understanding in each passing day. Love beyond all measure as we look into his face. There is nothing like it. God's sustaining grace. Sustaining grace till the end of it all. Sustaining grace till the last sunset falls. Oh, everlasting, enough to see us through. Sustaining grace is there for me and you. Sustaining grace is there for me.
Thank you very much, Al, for that powerful song of God's grace. Already mentioned, I'm continuing on my series in 2 Timothy, and we are going to chapter 3. And reading a chapter at a time, and I'm choosing some particular section of that to concentrate on, and I'm choosing the latter section. Now remember what 2 Timothy is all about. Some of you have heard that in the previous two messages, but I want to review it for you in case you haven't been able to be here over the last number of weeks. 2 Timothy is Paul's last letter. It's a letter he wrote to Timothy from prison. He was almost certainly in Rome. And he had almost certainly been put in prison by the Emperor Nero. And the Emperor Nero, after he had had an incident where the city of Rome burned and people were blaming him for starting the fire, he decided he needed a scapegoat, so he blamed the Christians. And during what is called the persecution of Nero, hundreds and perhaps even thousands of Christians lost their lives in order to satisfy Nero's desire to get revenge on somebody for supposedly starting the fire on Rome. And of course, the prime people to get were the leaders. And it is almost certain, according to church tradition, it is certain and is almost certainly true that the Apostle Paul lost his life shortly after writing this letter, and the Apostle Peter also lost his life because he too was stationed in Rome and was imprisoned and was crucified as a Christian leader. So Paul writes this letter as sort of his parting instructions to Timothy. It is sort of like a last will and testament. As I suggested 2 weeks ago, there was a time, a number of, during this time preceding the New Testament, where many last wills and testaments were written by supposedly prominent people. You can find in the archives of Jewish writings the Testament of Moses, the Testament of Abraham, Testament of the 12 Patriarchs, the Testament of Job, and so forth. Now, they probably weren't written by those people, like 2 Timothy was written by Paul. However, what it was a sometimes imaginary writing by some of these prominent people in Israel's history to their descendants as they were lying upon their deathbed. Now, Paul is not lying on a deathbed. He is languishing in prison. But he knows he's not going to live very much longer. And Paul says in chapter 4, which you're going to read next week, if the weather cooperates, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me, and not to me only, but to all of those who love his appearing. Or chapter 4, verse 18. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely into his heaven, into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. And so these are parting words. The whole letter are parting words of instruction to Timothy. And I have talked about some of those words in the previous 2 weeks. And remember, Paul has been a pastor and a missionary and a preacher for 30 plus years by this time. He became a Christian in about AD 31, And he died in about AD 67 or something like that. And so he has been a missionary and an apostle for 30-some years. And he has seen a lot, and he knows a lot of what has happened to him and to others. And the Lord has given him prophecies and visions as to what is going to happen. And he knows that he needs to encourage Timothy in his position as a pastor, probably in the church at Ephesus. Now, I want to review just very briefly two of the other things I've talked about other weeks, of some of the things that Paul says and are in this passage as well. One of the things Paul says to Timothy is, Timothy, your life is not going to be easy. You are going to suffer. You are going to suffer persecution. I suffered persecution, Antioch, Lystra, Iconium. You are going to suffer too. And I made the point that most of us today, if we were going to give some parting words of wisdom and some parting wishes to our descendants, the last thing we would say for them is, I know your life is going to be rough. I know you are going to suffer persecution, but hang in there. The Lord will be with you. In fact, as Paul says in this passage here, everyone, it says in verse, was it 13, I believe? Verse 12, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That was certainly true in the first century. I would not say it has been true in our lives, but it could be true. There are days and there are hints that there are persecutions going on today. If you read your newspapers carefully and see what people like those in the Islamic State have done with religious minorities, especially with Christians, and in some of the other Muslim countries, it is illegal to be a Christian. It is illegal even for a small group of Christians to gather together in order to worship. And there have been many, many Christians who have lost their lives. The statistics seem to show that more people, more Christians, have lost their lives in the 20th century because of their faith in Jesus Christ than in all the other 19 centuries put together. And Paul says that to Timothy. Your life is not going to be easy. You too are going to have persecution. And we do happen to know that in the area of Asia where Timothy was located at this time, persecution broke out toward the end of the century under the Emperor Domitian. And Asia was one of the primary places. And you can read ancient Christian writings such as the Martyrdom of Polycarp and so forth that described some of the horrendous types of persecutions that took place in that area of the world at the end of the first century. Secondly, Paul also has been given visions from the Lord that the church is going to suffer from heresy and from people who are not teaching the truth. And I would like to say that that's not the case today, but that is certainly the case today. I must say, I am shocked almost every day when I read the newspaper and I read some of the accounts that are recorded in there of church leaders who are abusing people of their congregations, many of them in a sexual way, but not only that. It seems to be increasing. And what Paul predicts there, and I'm not going to read that section again, especially the first five verses, I am surprised, sometimes even shocked, at some of the stories that I read and some of the lawsuits that are being leveled against churches, and not just fringe churches, but even something like the Roman Catholic Church and the many abused people who have grown up with a burden on their back because they have been taken advantage of by some of the prelates in that church. And Paul knew that that was going to take place. And he predicts it right here. I'm not going to dwell on that anymore. But those two things we have talked about in other messages, and I won't belabor them right now. What I am going to concentrate on is how Paul instructs Timothy to handle both the persecution and both the persecution and the heresy and the abuses and so forth that Paul knows could easily arise in the church where Timothy is working. And his basic message is this: stay the course. You have been trained from a small child to believe the scriptures. Those scriptures are filled with wisdom for your lives. And do not stray from them, because that is what you need in order to guide you in your ministry. The scriptures that Paul is speaking about here are not the New Testament scriptures. After all, 1st, 2nd Timothy is being written at this time, and some of the other books were not being written at this, or are not being written, have not yet been written at this time. These are the Old Testament scriptures. And Paul says, remember those from whom you have learned it. Now you need to go back to 1 Timothy chapter 1 to find the answer to that, where Paul says, you have learned the scriptures from your grandmother Lois and from your mother Eunice, and I am positive it is now in your heart. Timothy was raised as a Christian. I was raised as a believer. Of course, earlier he was not a Christian because Christ had not yet been proclaimed in the area where Timothy lived. But he believed the promises of the Old Testament. And Timothy is being instructed by Paul here to hang on to those scriptures because they contain the truth of the Word of God. And it is only God who can give direction in our lives. I happen to have had the privilege myself of being raised in a Christian home. And I was brought up to love the scriptures. That's why I became what I am, a person who loves to study the scriptures, a person who went to college and seminary and served two churches full-time and served here for the past 30 years, but also someone who has been able to use what the Lord has given me as an editor to help shape the church of the future. And God has privileged me to do that. And then Paul goes on, and he describes what that scripture is. And that is particularly what I'm going to concentrate on for just a few minutes. I'm going to read verses 16 and 17 again. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is a unique passage in the Apostle Paul. There is nothing else like it that describes what Scripture is. There is a passage in 2 Peter 1:19-21, which is similar to this, which speaks about how the Old Testament prophets were inspired and received messages from God to write their writings. But the main message that Paul says here is that when you pick up a Bible and when you read the Bible, you are not reading the words of a human being. You are reading the words that God put in the mind and in the heart of the biblical writer. The Old Testament prophets and the New Testament apostles. He used the word breathe. It's an interesting word. It's the Greek word pneuma, which means breath. But it also means spirit. So when Paul says that the Word of God has been God-breathed, what he means is that God, the Holy Spirit, breathed his words into the apostles and the prophets so that when they wrote what they wrote, they were not writing the words of God, but they were not writing the words of a human being. But they were writing what God wanted them to write and what God wanted future generations to know. That's what I believe the Bible is. That's why the Bible is so important to me. Because it's not just a bunch of human opinions that are in there, but it is God's word to the human race. And it contains the message of salvation. Now, there are occasions where people will come to me and they'll say, well, how do you really know that the words that are in the Bible originated with God and not with the biblical writer? How can you prove to me? Can you prove to me that those words that are in the Scripture are the words of God, are the words of the Holy Spirit, and not the words of the biblical writer? Think about that. Maybe there's somebody here who has that question. I'm going to answer that question in a somewhat surprising way, perhaps. I can't prove it. For a person who is a skeptic, or for a person who honestly and genuinely questions whether or not the words that are written down in Scripture are the words of God, and not the words of Paul and Isaiah and David and Moses and Peter and Jude and John and so forth. I can't prove that. I believe that. Is there any way to resolve that for someone who is really struggling, perhaps, with whether or not the Bible is the Word of God and not the Word of man? And I have a suggestion. Simply take up the Bible. Find a quiet place and read those words. Read them in a modern translation. I would suggest not reading the King James because it is in such archaic language that there are many words in there and many sayings in there that are just simply do not make sense in today's English. Take a modern translation. Maybe take two or three. And don't start with the most obscure and difficult words of the Bible and books of the Bible. Start with the Psalms. or read the Gospels, or take a great book like the book of Romans, or the prophecy of Isaiah, and simply start reading. And as you read, pray that God will speak to you and will begin to work in your heart that these are special words. These are words that resonate with my heart in a way that nothing else resonates with my heart. Yes, I know there are other religious books, but there is something, I believe, if you simply let God speak to you, if you simply prayerfully, and even if you don't know how to pray, you simply say, God, guide me. That's all you need to say. Speak to me. And I do believe that over time, these words will begin to burn themselves into your hearts, that they are special words. There are billions of people the world over who know and believe that the words in the Bible have not been given simply from the heart of a human being, but have been given from the very heart of God. And let those words begin to seep into your life and into your heart. Will you like everything that you read in there? Absolutely not. And this passage tells us that. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, but also for rebuking. You're going to find things in that word that you say, whoa, that describes me. And if that's the word of God, God must not be very pleased with me for correcting and for training in righteousness. What that means is for training how to live in a right way so that the end result is that the servant of God may become thoroughly equipped for every good work. Where there are messages in the scripture that speak to you hard and that convict you of sin, guess what? God says, I'll forgive that sin. I'll forgive that sin in the name of Jesus Christ, my Son, who died on the cross. That's the message of the Gospels. An amazing message. That God himself has taken the punishment of human sin and offers you forgiveness and eternal life. Remember those words of Paul that I said earlier. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord will give to me, and not to me only, but to all of those who love his appearing. The Lord Jesus offers you a full and complete forgiveness of your sins, of your shortcomings, of anything that you have ever done that is wrong. The Lord says, I will wipe it clean. And I will make you my child. That is the core of the gospel. That is the core message of the Bible. And it is my hope and prayer that each and every one of us here will have that message in our hearts and in our lives, and that we may become children of God in the midst of this generation. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, I thank you for Scripture. I thank you for the way in which you spoke to the apostles and to the prophets, so that what they wrote was not simply something that they dreamed up on their own, but that it came because, as the prophets so often say, the word of the Lord came unto me saying. And I pray that that message is a message that we continue to hear. And I pray for those Christians who believe that and are losing their lives because they do. And yet they do so joyfully, because they know they have a greater hope reserved in heaven for them. Hear us then, we pray, O Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, for his sake alone. Amen.
To close the service this morning, my song is going to be "In the Valley He Restoreth My Soul."
Thank you, Al, and thank you, Pastor Verlin. I don't know how we can adequately thank Pastor Verlin for those words that he shared with us today, except by living them out. And for my parting words, and that takes on new significance, I'd like to just share a few words from Psalm 73. Whom have I in heaven but you? And being with you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Have a good week and have it in the strength and power of Jesus Christ. And again, please join us for coffee and refreshments in the greenhouse. Thank you.